This is Kate Arrington, and you're listening to the Steppenwolf Theater Company podcast.
Hi, I'm literary manager Joy Meads, and I'm here today with Sandra Delgado, who's currently playing Esperanza, the lead character in our production of The House on Mango Street. How are you?
I am great. So happy to be here.
Fantastic. So this play is based upon a book by Sandra Cisneros, beautifully adapted here, of course, by Tanya Saracho. Did you know the original novel?
Yes. I read the book, years ago, as a lot of other young Latino women did. And of course, read it again, before rehearsal started, and actually continue to read it. Even though we're in performances now, I still read it. It's by my nightstand, and I bring it with me to the theater every morning because it's nice. There's always so much more that I can, add to the character by, continuing to read the book. It's great.
Great. Do you remember your first reaction to it when you read it as a girl?
Yeah, someone's going through the same things I'm going. Yeah, definitely. I felt immediately Esperanza was someone that I connected to.
Well, that's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about her. What's Esperanza like?
She is, a young woman who is going through that magical time in our life when we are trying to figure out, who we are and who our friends are and who's influencing us in good ways and bad, and, trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, what your passions are. And, she's, I would say, a serious girl who loves reading and loves writing, definitely finds a release and a solace in the literary arts. She's the oldest child of an immigrant family. And, she's put in the position of caretaker of her younger siblings and often, helps her parents out as well.
It's interesting because the translation between the novel and the play that we have, the novel's structured like a series of vignettes. Mm-hmm. I think Tanya described it as puffs of images. Mm-hmm. And so Tanya had to really craft a dramatic frame to give us a through line for the whole. Can you describe that frame? What's Esperanza's journey through the story?
Yeah. So, first of all, Tanya did such an amazing job out of creating action out of this book because, a lot of the book is really just Esperanza just kind of talking about stuff, nothing much happens in a way. And what Tanya really connected with to form a dramatic arc is letting us see all these women that Esperanza is meeting. She takes something away from each woman, mm-hmm. whether like, oh, gosh, that's who I want to be like, or no, that's who I want to be like, or no, I don't want to be like that. So her journey is really this journey of, seeing all these women and, discovering who she is in the process. In the beginning of the play, she's very upset that they have moved into this house that is not the house of her dreams. And throughout the play, through the women she meets and these monologues that she has, she comes to terms and accepts who she is and where she comes from and vows to return to the place she grew up in.
Speaking of the place she grew up in, mm-hmm. You're from Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Chicago in this play and in the novel? Is it a Chicago that you recognize?
Oh, for sure. And I have to say, I talked a little bit earlier about identifying with Esperanza. I am the firstborn mm-hmm. of immigrant parents and from a very young age was like translator for my parents, my mom mostly, there's a scene in the play where Mama talks about she could have been someone. Her mom was mm-hmm. a singer. My mom was a singer.
Wow.
Esperanza found, refuge in writing. I found refuge in theater. So the uh-huh. arts, for both of us were a way out, But yes, the Chicago, back to your question, the Chicago, most definitely. My Mango Street was Melrose Street. I grew up on Melrose and Polina in West Lakeview. And, I totally remember being able to hang out all day long with all mm-hmm. the other kids in the neighborhood. And just like in the play, it was kids, everyone on the block. So it was kids of all different ages playing together from mm-hmm. 5 years old to 13, 14, and we'd all just play together all day long and walk to the candy store together and or the corner store.
Yeah,
very much so. I definitely recognize my Chicago in there.
You know, in the novel and the play, there are those kind of iconic figures, the older adults that live on the streets, mm-hmm. like the lady with little feet who lives in that house.
Right.
You know, were there figures like that on your street growing up? Do you remember who any of those people were?
Oh, yeah. Our next door neighbor was Elsie, mm-hmm. who was this really beautiful elderly lady. And I would go over to her house once in a while and eat cookies. And I remember one time her house got broken into, mm-hmm. and her husband was alive at the time, and they were both like eating dinner in the kitchen, and these guys came in and like robbed them blind, and they had no idea they had been there the entire time.
Oh my God.
There were like the gypsies that lived across the street, uh-huh. that were, you know, and we definitely had our characters on that block.
Great. Cool. Well, you know, you talked about Sandra and Esperanza's way out, you know, as being that she's a writer in mm-hmm. this play, you know, and she's something of an autobiographical figure for Sandra Cisneros, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's both a participant in the action and also an observer of the
yes.
action, and she writes about what she sees. In the play, we're given access to that aspect of her in some monologues that are interspersed throughout the action. Can you tell us a little bit about those monologues?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, they're so beautiful. It's been really such an honor and just such a great experience to be able to delve into the book in this manner. Mm-hmm. And those monologues, I love them. And, you know, when Hallie and I worked them, she discovered that she really wanted the monologues to feed into the scenes and actually mm-hmm. and have the scenes feed into the monologues. So like once we found like, ooh, what are the connections between this monologue and the scene that just preceded it? That was a really great way to key in on what was happening in those monologues. Esperanza's almost like two different people, you know, like you see the girl, the kind of like shy, very impressionable young woman she is, really good listener. You see that in the scenes with the other people. And then when she's on her own in the monologues, you can really start to see like her true personality, you know, how strong she is, how much she thinks about stuff, and just like her big world view.
Yeah, and you also get a sense of her processing what she's seeing and learning.
Exactly, yeah.
And you get that extraordinary artistic voice that is Sandra Cisneros. So when Tanya reread the novel with an eye to adapting it, I know one of the first creative decisions that she made was to integrate music into the entire piece. Can you tell us a little bit about the music in Mango Street?
Yeah, wow. I think the music really brings the neighborhood to life, mm-hmm. you know. And Tanya has often said that the music was her way into bringing the book to life, to a theatrical life. The music was composed by Tamara Roberts, who is just an amazing, amazing artist. And so you get like a kind of like a cross section of Latino music styles, and mm-hmm. also, you know, the play is set in like the late 70s. Mm-hmm. So Tamara's also added in like a bit of like the hip hop that was starting to come, mm-hmm. you know, around that time. We've had so much fun with it. It's been really fun. Gorgeous harmonies, all different styles. Yeah, I just think they add so much to it.
Absolutely. And it seemed like, from the outside looking in, like it was a fun rehearsal process. Can you tell us a little bit about this group of people that you've been working with and what the experience was?
Yeah, well, Hallie really put together such a wonderful cast of people, and a lot of us knew each other already and worked mm-hmm. together often. You know, there's two theater companies that are represented in this cast. There's half of us are from Teatro Vista, myself included, and the other half are from Teatro Luna, which is the company that Tanya runs. And both companies, like, really love each other, dig each other. We all work with each other. So it was so, you know, there was already, like, a bond between us that I think really gave us a leg up when we started rehearsals, because there was already this, you know, like this friendship mm-hmm. that we all had. And we did have a blast. We had a complete blast. Tanya was part of the process. Obviously, Tamara. And yeah, it was just a great team all around. We had a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And I think, you know, the kind of community feeling that you're talking about, having known all of the artists that you're working with, really translates into the play. You know, you guys create the feeling of that street and that group of people who have known each other, you know, very well, sometimes perhaps too well, you know. It's just fantastic. This is a Steppenwolf for Young Adults play, and you're performing it both for school audiences during the day and then also for a more general Steppenwolf audience, mm-hmm. During weekends and at night. Can you tell us a little bit about the response to the play? Let's start with the young audiences. Are there certain things that you're hearing in the talkbacks?
You know, honestly, every day with the student audiences, it's so different every day. It's really interesting. Like, the responses to things are different. Something that gets a big laugh one day won't the next day. Something that gets a big reaction may not necessarily get a big reaction every day. The questions that are asked are very different. It's really interesting, you know, but every day I'm blown away by just how, like, smart these kids are. You know, I'm like, I was not that smart when I was in high school. I mean, like, seriously, just, it's been really interesting. And with the adult shows, I just think there's, you know, this whole other level that this play can be appreciated at another level, and that's at the level of, like, an adult kind of looking back, because this play is sort of like a reminiscing play, a nostalgic play. It's been the audiences are like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You've been involved with this play since the very first reading that we did, I think. I don't think that Tanya and Hallie ever thought of anybody else for this role. Can you talk to us about the way that the play has changed since you first experienced it during that initial reading so many months ago, and how it is now?
Yeah. Well, you know what? That first initial reading, we really didn't have the music, you know? So that's a huge change to kind of, like, hear the play without the music and then hear it with the music and be like, okay, that's it. The other major change is that, you know, at that first table read, there were, I would say, close to 20 actors.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In the reading, you know, maybe like 15, but quite a few more than we have in the cast now. So I think that's been the biggest change, really, like, you know, whittling down, you know, how many brothers and sisters Esperanza has, and really, you know, all that, the double, triple, quadruple casting that's mm-hmm. gone on, you know, with the cast. I would say, all in all, the script itself hasn't changed that much. You know, we had to lose some things that we really loved, of course, but no, it's been like a pretty solid base the whole time, I would say.
Fantastic. Well, it's just a tremendous show, and you're wonderful in it.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoy the rest of the run.
Oh, I love doing every show. Really. Love, love, love doing the show.
Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks, Joy.
AT&T is the sponsor of online content at steppenwolf.org.